titled this message today, Trusting God Amidst Crumbling Foundations. And you guys know, just as well as I know, that, you know, ever since the fall of man, like every single human being, every man, every woman who's been born, every child who exists even today, listen, we're all born with a sinful nature. I know that's probably not what you want to hear today, but it's true. We all have hearts that are, you know, wicked and deceitful and they're darkened. And there are times that we just need to trust in the Lord, even during the darkest times of our lives. So as David wrote Psalm 11, I believe he was looking around at what was taking place in the nation of Israel and of Judah at that time. The government, you know, his father-in-law Saul was tearing just down the foundations that God had really formed the nation of Israel upon. You know, Saul was jealous of David and wanted to kill David. And anyone who housed David, anyone who attempted to help David in any way, their lives were in danger. And we even know that that the priests of Nob were killed because of Ahimelech helping David out. But we're talking about foundations this morning. And, you know, just to kind of give you a more modern day example of what I'm talking about with foundations, you know, as we're looking at the freedoms that we have in the United States of America, you know, we need to remember that our country was founded upon freedom. And the Declaration of Independence gives us this foundation that all men are created equal, that we've been endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among those rights are the rights to have life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And, you know, this is really the standard. This is the foundation that our country was founded upon. And yet when I see that, you know, our country is kind of going in a direction that is falling away from those foundations that God has given us. And please don't get me wrong. I believe that the United States of America is the greatest country on the face of the earth. But, you know, as I watch these things taking place in our world today and in our country today, I wonder if it's going to remain that way. You know, I see our country kind of going on a downward spiral. And listen, I think you guys might all agree with me on this, maybe not, but you might agree that God really isn't welcome here in America anymore. Would you guys kind of agree with that? I mean, in a sense, God's not really welcome. And if God's not welcome in America anymore, guess what? His children aren't really welcome in America anymore, especially among the American culture that we're living in today. And if a Christian, if a believer takes a stand on what the Word of God says, right? If we believe what the Word of God says, then we're quickly considered bigots or racists or we're haters and that we're intolerant. But yet, I trust in God. I trust that God helped form this nation. And I believe that this nation, which was once a Christian nation, is going to come back to those roots as long as we, believers in Jesus Christ, are taking a stand upon what we believe. I trust in God, and I believe that God is sovereign, and I believe that God is working all things together for good. But listen, here's the challenge. When the foundations of a nation, any nation, when the foundations of a nation start to decline, you know, when we're looking at the things that are taking place in our country today, I have an inner voice going on. You guys probably have a very similar type of argument going on inside of your own heads. But I have this inner voice telling me, Mike, there's no hope. Mike, all is lost for this country. Mike, you need to start piling toilet paper again or whatever, right? Because, you know, I start making plans in my head. I start deciding in my own mind, okay, listen, God's way is not really working out. I better figure something out. And I think that's the inner dialogue that David was going through as he was writing this psalm, Psalm 11. I believe there was an inward struggle that he was dealing with. He was dealing with the effects of corruption upon his nation due to the pride and the arrogance of his father-in-law, Saul, you know, who who wanted David dead, who wanted to kill David. So David was dealing with this internal struggle. On one hand, David trusted God, but yet on the other hand, there was this voice telling him, run! There was this voice in his head saying, flee, run to the mountains, preserve yourselves. Look at what I mean. Look at verse 1 here in Psalm 11. It says, this is to the chief musician. I again believe that the chief musician is to God. That's who David's writing this song to. It's a psalm of David once again. And he says this. He writes down this. He says, in the Lord I put my trust. That's what David believes on this side, right? I trust in the Lord. But this is what's going on inside of his head. He says, how can I say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. So, you know, just to kind of give us a little bit of background of what's taking place here, you know, there are different seasons in David's life written about when he's written these psalms. This season that David is writing in, he was serving Saul. He was serving his father-in-law, Saul, in the palace. He was a captain of the armies of Israel. Now, you guys remember this. You guys know this story. The Philistine giant named Goliath, he had challenged the nation of Israel to a battle, to a one-on-one fight. And everyone, all of the soldiers of Israel were afraid, including King Saul. They were fearful. None of them were willing to take a stand to go up and fight against Goliath. So Saul kind of gave some incentives, right? He promised that whoever would stand up against this giant would receive great financial reward, that their family would be exempt from paying taxes, and the man who stood against Goliath and won would even get to marry one of his daughters. And we know that David was that young man who stood up and ended up killing Goliath. And after that, after David had slain Goliath, the people of Israel were looking towards David as a national hero. And they were singing songs about him. They were comparing King Saul to King David. They said, Saul's killed his thousands, yet David has killed his tens of thousands. And this provoked Saul to jealousy, so much so that at one point, Saul, you know, David would come and he would play the harp for, David would come and play the harp for Saul to kind of soothe him. And one day he just picked up a javelin and tried to pin David to the wall. He attempted to kill him. And Saul, you know, he knew that the people were looking to David as this national hero. He'd kind of promoted him as a captain of the armies. As David was being sent out, he'd heard that his daughter, Michal, loved David, and wanted to be the one that married David. So Saul allowed this marriage to take place. But part of the, the dowry that was required of David, that he would bring 100, he would kill 100 Philistines. And I'm thinking, in Saul's mind, he's thinking, there's no way David's going to be able to do this, that he's going to go out there in this attempt to marry my daughter, to kill 100 Philistines, and he's going to be killed. But obviously, God was with him, and God provided for David to be able to do what it was that was necessary. Yet, in all of this, Saul still considered David his enemy. And that's the history behind why David wrote this psalm. This is probably the time frame when this had taken place in David's life. And listen, no matter how much David trusted in the Lord, he had that inner voice of fear taking place. And that voice of fear telling him that he needed to run, that he needed to flee like a bird. Don, if you could put that next slide up for me. Really quick, there you go. He knew that he had been anointed by God to one day be the next king of Israel, but that voice of fear was taking place in David's life and was saying to him, look, the wicked are bending their bow against you. They want to kill you in secret. David, have you guys ever deal with that inner voice of fear inside of your minds, inside of your hearts? David's dealing with this, and he's being told to run. That voice of fear is telling David to run for his life. Your father-in-law wants to kill you. And listen, I've been there. I've had that voice of fear, not necessarily as extreme as David was dealing with, but fear could be so consuming in our lives. There are times when we know, listen, we trust the Lord. We know that God is the only answer, but then that fear starts to well up inside of our hearts. And fear can oftentimes make us come up with an alternative plan. That fear makes us, instead of wanting to stand and trust God, that fear makes us to want to run for our lives. So what do we do when we're in that situation? When our mind and our heart is telling us trust in the Lord, but that inner voice of fear is telling you to run, what do we do? Listen, the Bible tells us what to do. We need to learn to take every thought captive unto the Lord. A friend of mine, he has a nickname, it's called Bubba. And Bubba would say, you need to change your stinking thinking. That's what he would say. We need to take our thoughts captive unto the Lord. So when you and I are being tempted by fear, we need to remind ourselves, what does the Bible say? So what does the Bible say? Psalm 23, you guys are very familiar with verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 118:6 tells us this, the Lord is on my side. Listen, if God is for us, who could be against us? No one, for the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And then Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Can you all like look at those verses and say, all right, God, I trust in you, and I know that you're with me no matter what is taking place in my life, in whatever context, whatever the headlines that we're looking at as we open up the news stories, whenever fear rears its ugly face in our face, we need to know that we have the Bible, the Word of God, in which we can stand upon. Now, you know, if you guys are anything like me, I'm a little bit of a news hound. I like to watch throughout the day and see what's going on inside of the news. I get blitzed sometimes by the media and all that's coming in, and I see the news. I see the things that are taking place in the world today. I see the potential wars, right? There's wars that are on the horizon. There's different, you guys are all dealing with the effects. I think you are. I know I am. We're all dealing with the effects of inflation. We know that the price of gas is really, really high right now, which because the gas prices are so high, it causes the food prices to get so high. And listen, it could become a little bit overwhelming for us. And I know that I need to remind myself about what the Word of God says. When I start to get overwhelmed, I need to remind myself that it's only through God's strength that we can boldly stand in the midst of His power, in the midst of His might, that we can stand relying on Him. That we can know that God is for us, and because God's for us, no one can be against us. Nothing can be against us. Now, David was faced with an alternative, the alternative that I believe really all of us are faced with. Do I trust God as my refuge, or do I create my own refuge system? You tracking with me on this? Listen, do I trust my big God who's always protected me, who's always been there for me, or am I trying to figure out a plan to bail God out because God's not coming through for me? And in verse 3, David asks a very honest question. Look at verse 3. It says this, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's a good question. Listen, if the foundations of a nation, if the foundations of a country are destroyed, what can I, the righteous, what can we do about it? Well, I think if we had heard David speak this verse out loud, we might hear a tinge of desperation in his voice when he wrote it, recognizing that his father-in-law, Saul, was failing. His government was failing. I already mentioned how, in just a couple chapters after that initial thing where he almost got pinned to the wall, he had the priests of Nob killed. And David recognized that that the foundations of the nation of Israel was falling apart. The law and order was falling apart. So David asked this question, what will the righteous do? I know he was speaking of himself. What should I do? What do I do? Now, you guys all know this as well as I do, that we all have foundations based on the values that we have. Maybe the values that you were raised with growing up in your own home, whether it was a Christian home or not. We all have a value system based on what we believe is right and the things that we believe that are wrong. And Jesus spoke of two men who built on two different foundations. You guys are familiar with this parable. The wise man built on the solid rock, and when the storm came his way, his house stood firm. Yet the foolish man built on sifting sand, so when the storms in life came his way, his house collapsed. But we are living in a place right now, listen, where I believe the foundations of this country is kind of being built on shifting sand, because the foundations of truth are always being moved. Let me give you an example of what I mean by this, okay? So when my wife and I first got married, we were both believers, we were both Christians, and the Bible was and still is today our source of truth. So when my wife and I got married, we had biblical, concrete boundaries set in place for our marriage. Listen, it was never then, just like it's not today, okay for me to go out hanging out with my buddies at night and getting drunk and carousing and doing whatever it is that I want to do, because we have the concrete guidelines. We have concrete foundations of what the Bible says. But check this out. What if my wife and I weren't believers? What if when we first got married, we weren't believers, and yet we thought, okay, you know what, Mike, you know, it's probably not a good idea for you to go hanging out with your friends anymore, night after night, getting drunk and doing whatever you used to do when you were single. And I agree. All right, honey, you're right. That's probably not the right thing to do. And after a couple years of our marriage, because we don't have concrete value system, we don't have the concrete biblical foundation of the Word of God, my value system can shift. My value system can change over time to where my wife's values are still the same. It's not okay for you to go out partying and drinking with your buddies at night, but my value systems have shifted a little bit. And I think now, because I don't have the solid rock values anymore, that I can go out and do whatever it is that I want to do. And I want us to take the foundations of a country, any country, like any country whose concrete guidelines have been destroyed and God has been taken out of the equation, listen, the foundations of that country are going to crumble. And we all know that in our country, there is an attack against the moral foundations in which the United States of America were founded upon. There's a lot of crickets out in the house here today. Listen, are you guys hearing me? The challenge that we're dealing with in our country today is that no one is agreeing upon what is right. Hey, Dale, it's okay, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that message with us. Thanks, Everett. Appreciate it. If you could have a seat now, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Listen, Everett and I had a conversation at the beginning of before service started today, and he told me that he believed that he had a message that the Lord wanted him to share, and I didn't agree with that. I didn't think that that was from the Lord, and I told him that. We know that we have a God who is a God of order, and I had asked Everett not to do what he just did. So, you know, our ushers are dealing with that right now. But, you know, God's the God of order, guys. And if we don't have order, you know, anyone can just stand up and start talking in the middle of the service, and it's not going to edify. It's not going to bless anybody. I love Everett. He's a brother in Jesus Christ. We love him. We come alongside of him. We pray for him. You know, he'd gotten injured a couple months ago out on the front. I went to the hospital and visited him, but, you know, this was just out of order, and I hope you guys understand. So anyway, concrete foundations. Going back to what I was talking about, I believe that the challenge that we're dealing with, this is really awkward right now. I feel like, all right, listen, the challenge that our country is dealing with is that no one's in agreement, right? I think he just kind of made my point here. Some people think that one thing is right, another people think that same thing is wrong. Listen, there's no agreement between what is right and what is wrong. Now, why is that? I think the basis of that is because absolute truth is no longer existence in this country. Truth is, according to most people who live in America, is subjective. Your truth may not be my truth. And that's the problem, because absolute truth, listen, without absolute truth, deception creeps in. And when a nation rejects truth, the next step is delusion comes in. And listen, when that happens, people start believing a lie. And when you start believing a lie, listen, that's when you start acting upon that lie. And I believe that the problem that we're dealing with here in America today is that America has lost its love for truth. And its foundations are being extinguished. Now, let me give you some examples. I'm not going to camp out here on this, but I just want to give you some examples. The Bible tells us that God created male and female. Right? That's what the Bible says. But listen, our society is becoming delusional. Listen, there's this other set of truth that's so subjective out there, saying that there could be many different types of genders, that people see gender as being relative, and what they're doing is they're turning their backs on God's design for truth. And you know what that's led to? It's led to an attack on marriage, because God's word says that marriage is between one man and one woman. And the biblical foundation of marriage is being decimated. The sacred institution of marriage is being undermined. And the nuclear family that God has created to have a father and a mother in the household so that we can rear our children, listen, that foundation is being destroyed. And the root of it is this. Listen, the genesis of these crumbling foundations is an attack on the Word of God. And what I mean by that is that everyone wants to include everybody in an effort to being inclusive so that everyone feels included. Even mainstream denominations are starting to cave, and they're swinging towards universalism, that truth is arbitrary, that all roads lead to heaven, that Jesus is a way, or Jesus is a truth of many different truths, and Jesus is just a lifestyle that maybe you Christians can enjoy. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. So listen, how did we get here? How did we get to this place? How did we go from being a Judeo-Christian nation to becoming this hodgepodge of different truths where anything goes? And, you know, I think it started, just a couple years ago. Well, obviously, it started way more than a couple years ago, but it really started to begin to rear its ugly head with progressive Christianity. And with progressive Christianity, young people started to deconstruct the Word of God. And what I mean by that, they attempt to interpret the Bible according to today's culture. But we know that the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't change the Bible according to our culture. Listen, the culture doesn't tell us what's right or what's wrong. We don't follow what's right or wrong based on today's culture. We follow what's right and what's wrong based upon the Bible. So the idea that truth is subjective and that our culture can define right and wrong, and that there is no absolute truth. There's no absolute right. There's no absolute wrong. That completely contradicts what Jesus said. And I've already stated that. Jesus said, I'm the way. There's no other way. Jesus said, I'm the truth. There is no other truth. Jesus says, I am the life. Listen, there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. So as David, listen, I'm getting there now. We got the whole rest of the psalm to get to. But as David was recognizing that the foundations of his nation was crumbling, he asked the question, what can the righteous do? And yet, I know that David trusted the Lord. And instead of giving up, you know, this is what came out of his heart instead. That God is still on the throne. Look at verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous, he loves righteousness, his countenance beholds the upright. Listen, my brothers and sisters, in the midst of crumbling foundations, this is key. God is in control. Amen. We can close our Bibles right there. Listen, in the midst of trouble, when everything in the world seems desperate, whether it's what you see on the news or what's taking place all around the world, or maybe in what's taking place in your own life, or when society has just seemed to have lost all common sense and has completely rejected truth, listen, God is in control. And when we ask ourselves the question, what's the answer? What's the answer to all this problem? Two words. Thank you. Jesus Christ is the answer, folks. And I know that's not the most popular answer out there in the world, but he's true. What can the righteous do? Listen, the righteous needs to look to Jesus. Jesus is high and lifted up, and we as the body of Christ, we as believers, we need to keep our eyes on him. Why? Because Jesus is still on the throne. Listen, he's never left it. I mean, God is on the throne. Jesus is at his right hand. And, you know, this reminds me of Isaiah chapter 6. And I think I might have referred to this also a couple of weeks ago. But it was in the year that one of the greatest kings of Judah, King Uzziah, had died. Now, Uzziah had reigned over Judah for 52 years, and it was during that time that the nation was experiencing just this incredible prosperity, and Uzziah had an incredible influence for righteousness upon the nation. But listen, the nation continued to go after, they were sliding downhill, they were continuing to go after idols. And then in the year that he died, when Uzziah died, Isaiah was discouraged by this because the nation had just lost their godly king. And in his mind, listen, Uzziah was the only solution for Israel. Uzziah was the only solution for Judah. Now he's dead. So, you know, he's probably thinking to himself, what's going to happen now? And it was during that time of great discouragement that God lifted his eyes and gave him a vision of heaven, showing Isaiah, the Lord who is on the throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple with glory. And the angels cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So, listen, my encouragement for all of us, if you're experiencing fear, if you're experiencing any kind of discouragement about the things that are taking place in our country or things that may be taking place in our world, listen, don't look to a politician to try to fix the problem. Don't look to whoever your guy is to be the next lawmaker or the next supreme leader of the world. Listen, don't look to them. Instead, look up. Look up to Jesus Christ because your redemption draws near. And I believe that Isaiah never forgot that vision that God had given to him. And for us today, for you and I, listen, no matter what it is that's going on around us, God is always on his throne. And in verse 4b says this, his eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. You know what that means? God's aware. God sees every single thing that's happening. God has never been taken off guard. Do you believe that today? Listen, as things are taking place that we're like scratching our heads and wondering what's happening, God's not taken off guard by these things. And although fear was trying to give David advice in this whole situation, he saw that God saw everything that was taking place and that none of it had escaped God's sight. Do you believe that today, folks?
Yes.
As God is watching, as God sees the expansion of wickedness taking place in our world today, we need to remember that God is patient, that God is just, and that God is working all things together for our good. And we don't have to worry about the things that are taking place. We don't have to worry about these things. Listen, my exhortation to all of us is that we vote. You know, get out and vote. Register to vote. Place your vote, and if things don't go your way, if your guy is not the next guy, or if your law or the things that you want to see done isn't the next thing that gets done, listen, God's on the throne. He's in charge of it all. And I believe David recognized that. That inner voice is telling David, listen, we got to do something. We got to rally the masses. We got to figure something out. David wanted to run. He wanted to flee. And yet David's remembered that his trust was in the Lord. I'm going to ask you all to do something today, okay? If your trust is in the Lord today, take a stand for him right now. If you believe that God is in control, that God is doing all things, take a stand. Listen, I get it. You're like, oh, man, everyone around me is standing up. Now I have to stand, right? Listen, even if you're standing on the outside but you're sitting on the inside, that's okay. And let's just raise our hands to the Lord this morning. Father, we trust you. Father, we believe in you. We know you're on the throne, that you see all things that are taking place in this world. And even if a prophecy that someone may speak up in the middle of a church service comes true and the world is going to be ended in 30 days, God, we trust you. We believe in you. And even though fear may sometimes dwell up inside of our minds and try to discourage us and keeping us from trusting in you, God, we know that you are for us and that you love righteousness and that you love your children. And we stand here today proclaiming that we are your children and we desire to live our lives for you, not in fear, but trusting in you. We love you, Heavenly Father, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, stay standing.